Good morning, Shiloh.
Good morning.
The 8 o'clock preacher is here. It's good to be back home one more time. It's such a blessing, a privilege, and an honor to just be in your presence. And my wife and I just thank you and thank God for yet another opportunity. I was telling Deacon Green last night that the decades, I don't even count the years, I start counting decades, because it just makes it seem so much shorter. But this is almost this is my 29th year since I have been licensed, since I was licensed right here in Shiloh. This is almost my 30th year. May of next year will be 30 years that God blessed me to be born as a preacher in this great church. And I want to thank my... I know that many people have gone on to try eternity, but God has kept many of us here in the land of the living. But I come to just let you know, if you just hold on for a little while longer, everything is going to be all right. Those that have gone on before us will join in that great, great celebration. Reverend Holloway, thank you. I was wondering if you were still talking about me when you were doing all of that reading. God is good. And his mercy is everlasting. I'm going to go ahead and do what I'm supposed to do and get out of the way, because Ollie Green promised to take us to breakfast at his expense. Say amen. Not another second or another minute. Not an hour of another day, but at this moment with my arms outstretched, I need you to make a way, as you have done so many times before. Through a window or an open door, I stretch my hands to thee. Come rescue me, I need you right away. I need you now, I need you now, I need you now, I need you now. Oh, not another second. Or another minute, not an hour of another day, but Lord, I need you right away. If I had never needed you before to show up and restore all of the faith that I let slip while I was searching the world for more, the true best friend I have indeed. You're the best friend I know in need. I stretch my hands to thee. Come rescue me. I need you right away. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. Oh, not another second or another minute. Not an hour of another day. But Lord, I need you. I need you right away. The word of the Lord today comes to us from Mark, the 5th chapter. And I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Version, Mark, the 5th chapter, beginning at verse 21. When you have it, won't you acknowledge it by saying amen?
Amen.
And it reads as follows. When Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and so he stayed by the seashore. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up, and on seeing him, fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live." And he went off with him, and a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. A woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and endured much at the hands of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd and behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, "If I just touch his garments, I will get well." Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately, Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." And while he was still speaking, they came from the house of the synagogue official, saying, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore?" But Jesus, somebody say, "But Jesus," overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid any longer, only believe." And he allowed no one to accompany him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the synagogue official, and he saw a commotion and people loudly weeping and wailing. And entering in, he said to them, "Why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died, but is asleep." They began laughing at him. But putting them all out, he took along the child's father and mother and his own companions and entered the room where the child was. Taking the child by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha cum," which translated means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old. And immediately they were completely astounded. And he gave them strict orders that no one should know about this. And he said that something should be given to her to eat. God bless the reading of the word. If I could use a thought this morning, go ahead and be seated if you will. I want to ask the question, do you trust me enough to walk with me? Do you trust me enough to walk with me. Father, I come before your presence right now, needing preaching power that only heaven can send. Bless this little vessel that I might proclaim to these, your people here at Shiloh, about your goodness and your greatness and the awesome God that you are. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Shiloh, this is a challenging and exciting text to preach.
All right.
There are actually two separate incidents in this pericope that each of them can actually stand alone on their own. However, more often than not, these two encounters are not ordinarily combined. My focus today is the focus on the initial contact with Jesus and briefly touch upon the interruption encounter that he encountered along the way, because I feel that we need to give some attention to the importance of the interruptions that happen to us in our spiritual walk. Here in the text, we're quickly introduced to a man by the name of Jairus. Jairus was a religious leader, ruler of the synagogue, one who had many religious responsibilities among his people. He was a holy man, one that believed in God. Jairus was a man, he was a man that was acquainted with problems as much as the one that he has going on right now. There were many from his synagogue who, over the years that he tried to comfort when they had lost loved ones. Many in the synagogue over the years that he had tried to comfort, them when they had lost loved ones. Many in the synagogue had called upon Pastor Jairus to visit them at the hospital after some sickness, after some accident or some tragedy. He had made many home visits over the years to welcome new members as well as share in their pain, sorrow, and grief. So we find here this well-respected religious leader now faced with what may become a real tragedy. And this tragedy has taken up residence in his own home. Are you all praying with me?
Yeah.
And the Bible calls our attention to the fact that his daughter now lay sick in the bed. Being a ruler of the synagogue and a religious leader, I know he had the best HMO, had the best primary care physician, and they had already made their diagnosis. They had tried everything they knew to do until the doctors finally said, "It's no use. She's dying. There's nothing else that we can do." And any parent that has ever had a sick child knows the emotional toll that it takes on you. He may have questioned God or even blamed God for his misfortune. Maybe had a feeling of anger mixed with self-pity. And I can feel the anguish of this father. I can only imagine the many mixed emotions he must have had and
those he was wrestling with, wanting to scream and holler, but not knowing who to scream to or who to holler at. Feeling of helplessness and yet a great desire to do something, but not knowing what to do. He even began to think, God, I've been serving you for a mighty long time. Serving you, doing the best that I know what to do and how to do. And now this, in the anguish of this religious leader, he now remembers this young rabbi that he has heard so much about. The rabbi has been turning the Pharisees and the scribes' viewpoint about things on religion, been turning the world upside down. Remembers hearing about this young rabbi that has been teaching in the local synagogues and drawing huge crowds. First mega church, y'all. Matter of fact, the whole city had just attended one of his teaching sessions. He remembers having heard of this man that had the power to heal. He had healed a man with a withered hand. And he had heard there was a tale about an insane man that had been running around in the tomb, among the tombs in the cemetery. And they said that he heard that the rabbi had healed him. And then he heard the story, Shiloh, about a wedding where the rabbi turned water into wine. Whether he's a true prophet or whether he's just a charlatan, Jairus didn't want to know all of that. All he knew was that his baby was sick and he needed some help. I'm not sure how Jairus knew how to find Jesus on this day in the midst of his tremendous needs, because Jesus had just disembarked from a ship having crossed over the sea, you see. Great crowds were already there. The text says that a lot of people were gathered around him. And it's obvious to me that Jesus is at the height of his popularity. Jesus was still on the banks of the sea. Word had begun to spread quickly that Jesus had returned. Perhaps many had been there waiting by the banks of the sea, waiting for the return of the Son of God. And the text makes it pretty clear, makes it appear as though Jairus came upon Jesus suddenly and stumbled across Jesus. He had no time to think about what was going on. He had no time to think about what he was going to ask or how he was going to put it into words. And so he fell at the feet of Jesus and began to plead. Lord, my baby, my little girl is close to death. Come on, go with me to my house. God, Jesus, lay your hand on her, and I know she'll be healed. Not maybe or perhaps. Not let me see what's going to happen. But I know. I know what you can do. I'm sure this father probably rehearsed in his mind over and over again what he was going to say. He was going to be very polished and very polite and ask Jesus if he would come. But let me tell you one thing, Shiloh. All of our dignity goes out the window when we come face to face with Jesus. Can I say that again? Ain't no way to be dignified with tears streaming down your face and you are on your knees begging for help. Oh, I understand it on Sunday morning when there's some shouting going on and some praising going up. I understand it when you begin to praise God. When I see those folk trying to praise God in a dignified manner, I don't criticize. They just haven't had a face-to-face encounter in the midst of their storm. But baby, if you just keep on living, when you begin to beg Jesus for help, and he delivers you, you can't help but get ugly. For the Lord. Oh, I must have some folk been in here that been through something. Mm-hmm. A bill got paid. You get ugly for the Lord. Your child was delivered from drugs. You get ugly for the Lord. God healed your body with that sickness that the doctor had already given up on you. You get ugly for the Lord. You realize that God's grace is sufficient to handle your every condition. And when God does that for you, you'll be just like Jairus. You'll fall down, lift them hands up, and tell him, thank you, Jesus. Do I have a witness up in here? If this man's faith that compelled Jesus to follow, it was his faith when he went to him and told him that compelled Jesus to follow him. And notice here that as soon as Jairus spoke his faith, Jesus was attracted by that faith and went with him to heal his daughter. Isn't it interesting, Shiloh, that the text does not record that Jesus even spoke a word to this father that was in need? No. Look at the text again in verse 24. It says, Jesus went with him. Most of us did not even catch the significance of these initial words that begin in this verse. Initially, our faith, when we are first saved, is mirrored right here in this verse. We start out on our Christian journey simply wanting Jesus to come with us. We almost view Jesus like he's some omnipotent bodyguard. And you know what a bodyguard does, right? Bodyguard follows you around. Bodyguard makes sure there's no danger come your way. A bodyguard will protect you and take care of the business for you. Tell what the text says, and Jesus went with him. Jairus must have been feeling mighty good at this point, y'all. Huh? In the midst, but get this. You got to catch this. In the midst of Jesus going with him, Jesus was interrupted. Huh? And as he and Jairus and the disciples were making their way to Jairus' house through the multitude, a woman came up behind Jesus and secretly touched the hem of his garment. This was a touch of faith. Jesus turned around and asked, who touched me? Huh? His disciples said to him, Lord, you see all these folk gathered around here? They're pressing against you on every side. Lord, how can you ask that question, who touched you? Huh? Everybody's touching you. But Jesus said, no, y'all. He said, y'all been with me. Y'all ain't been with me that long. Y'all forget that I'm omniscient. I see y'all, and I know all. Somebody touched me because I felt virtue go out of me. Someone paraphrased it by saying, someone has made a demand on my ability. Now, Shiloh, I want y'all to put yourself in this Father's place. Here he is, desperate, made his way through the crowd to beg Jesus to come and heal his daughter, who's at death's door. And obviously, he wants Jesus to just hurry up. Make it pronto, Jesus. Huh? We got to get there with no time to lose. We got to get there in a Usain Bolt, Harry. Huh? My daughter can die at any moment. And then on the way, some woman sneaks up behind Jesus. By an act of faith, makes a demand on his ability. As Jesus stops to minister to her, Jairus is left there standing to watch the scene and just think within himself, this ain't fair. This woman, and I know her from the community, has been sick for 12 years. But my daughter is dying right now. And I came to Jesus first. He ought to come heal my daughter first. My daughter is dying right now. I came to Jesus first. She'll come and heal my daughter, and then he can attend to this lowly woman. Besides that, she's unclean. She doesn't have a right to be here. And at the time of the Levitical law, it stated that because this woman had an issue of blood, she was ceremonially unclean. By law, she could have been stoned to death for just going out in public. And I don't know about you, but I have learned to appreciate and thank God for the interruptions that he sends in my life. Because you see, just when things are going pretty good, just when things are going along fine, here comes an interruption. Just when Reverend Sister Branch and I seem to be getting along pretty well, and we normally get along pretty well, this is our 20th year getting along pretty well. Huh? But just when we seem to be getting along pretty well, here comes an interruption. Just when you are preparing for that promotion, here comes an interruption. Well, the interruptions that I encounter in my life help me to refocus my attention on God and take my sights off me, myself, and I, and focus on God's sufficient grace for me. Help me, somebody. Shallow interruptions are not sent to harm us, but they are sent to help us. I'm trying to welcome interruptions as potential gifts from God. After all, God got a much better plan for my day than I do. Are you going to pray with me here? Well, this interruption in the life of Jairus would be used just to elevate his faith to another level. Oh, it's coming, y'all. This woman that interrupted the master's schedule had been suffering for 12 long years, spent all the money on physicians. And the Bible says that even though she had the wherewithal to do it, her condition grew worse. Here Jesus was taking up precious time with this woman who was a social outcast, when it seemed that he should have been dealing with the matter at hand. The daughter of the ruler of the synagogue. This narrative is evidence that Jesus is no respecter of persons. Do I have a witness here? It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. You can be at death's door. You can be poor. You can be lower and flatter than a pancake. But Jesus is no respecter of person. You see, he will minister to the highest official. He will minister to the lowest outcast of society. And so he started going along with Jairus in response to his faith. And on the way, he stopped and ministered to this poor woman in response to her faith. And so this demonstrates the fact that the Lord is not looking for those who have wealth, position, and power. But all the Lord wants is someone that's got enough faith to follow Jesus, enough faith to touch the hem of his garment. Because with the faith the size of a mustard seed, good God Almighty, you can move mountains. I wonder if we got any mountain movers in Shiloh today. Lord have mercy. This woman was healed because of her faith. Can you just imagine, Shiloh, how Jairus' spirits must have been lifted when during the interruption process, he witnessed a healing miracle for himself. Now felt maybe that now my daughter can be healed. But and before I go on, I got to remind you, Satan will not allow us to enjoy good news mighty long. Am I right about it? Huh? For here comes a message on the way that's going to burst Jairus' bubble. And it's going to rock his world. As Jesus is talking with the woman, messengers from Jairus' house come to tell him that his daughter had died. And so there ain't no reason to trouble Jesus no more, because she dead and she gone. And you know, Jesus hears all and knows all. Jesus heard what the messengers related, and immediately he turns now to this shocked father. And he says to him, don't be afraid, but only believe. And I can imagine in my mind everything that Jairus has experienced and seen Sam Floyd up to now. He probably saying, I knew it. Huh? In other words, what Jesus was saying, he said, I know you done seen what has happened. I was on my way to your house, and I know you've experienced the interruption. But Jesus is telling him, in essence, don't panic. Don't throw in the towel right now. Huh? He was telling this man to act just like you've been acting before you even got this bad report. Yeah. Now, wait a minute here and help me to understand this. The bad report is given. And the Bible says as soon as Jesus heard it, he addressed Jairus, telling him, don't be afraid, but only believe. Huh? Can I stop right there and hang my hat right there for a second? This is where all of us, you and me, fail as believers. Huh? The word went right to Jairus as soon as the bad news arrived. When you and I get bad news, we spend too much time going everywhere, talking to everybody else before we go to the word of God. Huh? We fall out, we complain, get on the telephone saying, why me? And then when we are at the last thing that we can do, we're at our breaking point. That's when we go to Jesus. Huh? Jesus immediately addressed and comforted Jairus. Because you see, Shiloh, as far as Jesus was concerned, and y'all got to get this, death wasn't no greater than any sickness that he had already healed. Jesus already knew he had the power to restore health. He already knew he had the power to restore life. Huh? He told him, don't panic. Don't get all up beside yourself. Huh? So I stopped by this morning to ask you the question, do you trust me enough to walk with me? Huh? Come on, what was Jairus to do? And what do we do when our situations go from bad to worse? What did we do when our marriages go from bad to worse? What will we do when our jobs go from bad to worse? What do we do when our children go from bad to worse? What do we do when our finances go from bad to worse? What do we do when the charges go from bad to worse? I can hear Jesus saying to us right now, do you trust me enough to walk with me? Do we allow the word of God to immediately penetrate our heart when things go from bad to worse? I hear Jesus saying this to Jairus. Jairus, I've got omnipotent power, and I've got omniscient power, and I've got all power. Huh? Do you trust me enough to walk with me? And Jairus' mental and emotional attitude, you see, had a great deal to do what was going to happen next. And don't you know that the same is true with you and with me? When the Lord tells us to don't be afraid, not to panic, he's not telling us and not saying the negative situations are not real. Yeah, they are real, just as the situation of Jairus' daughter was real, because his daughter was now dead. Jesus didn't deny the reality of the situation. But he did indicate by his words and actions that it wasn't the ultimate or the final reality. And the first thing that Jairus had to understand, and I need to remind you all Shiloh today, is the fact that Jesus does not do funerals. He doesn't do funerals. Huh? Jesus was ready. He was just ready to continue walking to Jairus' house. And by now I'm sure Jairus was grieving. And Jesus doesn't do funerals, y'all. People like me preach funerals. Huh? Oh, you remember he was in the city of Nain, where he ran into a funeral procession. Huh? A mother that was a widow, already lost her husband, was now burying her son. Jesus stopped the funeral procession, touched the boy on the hand, and told him to rise, get up and walk. Oh, you do remember Lazarus, don't you? Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days. And I'm not certain or sure why Jesus hung around on the outskirts of the town while the family was in mourning. But all I know, Jesus approached that tomb and said, Lazarus, get up and come forth. No, Jesus doesn't do funerals. Went right straight to Jairus' house. just as he had been doing before the bad report came. He had started out in Jairus' response to his faith, and he didn't intend to stop now just because the physical circumstances of the situation had changed, bro, friends. Huh? Jesus did not tell this man, Jairus, it's too bad, I got to go back. If this woman hadn't stopped me, we might have made it in time. No, no. Must not have been the will of God that your daughter be healed. Because if it had been his will, she would have lasted until I arrived on the scene. I'm real sorry, but it's too late for me. No, no, he didn't say that. So I may as well be on my way. Jesus didn't say that. Huh? That's not what he did, y'all. But you know what Jesus did? He went right there. On towards Jairus' house, just as if nothing had happened. Can't you see it in your mind's eye? Huh? Jesus is saying, do you trust me enough? So keep on walking with me. Things don't look good for this father. News had arrived and arrived that had rocked his world. And after the bad news had come, get this, Jesus switches the situation. He flips the script. Because in the beginning, Jesus was following him. And Jesus, he flipped the script on him. He said, suffer no man to follow me. Did y'all catch that? In the beginning, Jairus was in charge. Lord, follow me to my house. Huh? Jairus was in charge, y'all. And now, all of a sudden, not everyone was required to follow Jesus. No one following but the inner circle. Peter, James, and John. Of course, Jairus. And you see, our faith does not escalate until we begin to follow Jesus. I could tell you some things. I could tell you some things about my own life. Huh? When I ain't had no faith at all. Can I get a witness here? Huh? I used to hang out all night long. Huh? Come home early. That's my testimony. But you see, when Jesus comes into your life, your faith will escalate. Oh yeah, yeah. Jesus in the beginning went with him, and now they must follow Jesus. Jairus was in charge in the beginning, but now Jesus is in charge. Huh? Jesus said, all you got to do is take up your cross and follow me. Do you trust me enough to walk with me? When situations come in your life, do you trust me enough to keep on walking with me? Yeah, yeah, I heard the bad news. I heard the report, but do you trust me enough to walk with me? I'm going to keep on walking to your house. Do you trust me enough to walk with me? I'm going to your house in spite of the bad report. Do you trust me enough to walk with me? Jesus said everybody else except Peter, James, and John, stay right where you at. But Jairus, do you trust me enough to walk with me? Well, here we see the end of this narrative. Jesus walks into the house. Took the little girl by the hand and said, little girl, I say unto you, arise and get up. And you all know what happened. Shiloh, the little girl got up. And I want you to know that if you just walk with Jesus, in times of adversity. If you walk with him in the times of storm, and if you refuse to let go of your faith, I'm here to let you know that Jesus will make a way out of no way. Do I have a witness here? Do you trust me enough to walk with me? If you trust me enough to walk with me, I can resurrect your marriage if it seems to be dead. I can resurrect your finances, even though you can't get credit to buy a pack of juicy fruit. Do you trust me enough to walk with me? Your situation may look dead and hopeless right now, but if you trust me, I'll make a way for you. Do you trust me enough to walk with me? Whatever your eyes see, it's not the ultimate reality. Do you trust me enough to walk with me? Because Jesus has another plan for you and your family. He's got another plan for you and your life. Do you trust me enough to walk with me? Don't panic. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't lose your faith. Do you trust me enough to walk with me? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, I'm glad this morning that we walk by faith and not by sight. Don't listen to the opinion polls. Don't listen to the voice of others. But do you trust me enough to walk with me? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. I heard the Lord say, I'll be with you through difficult times, through hard times, through rough times. And sometimes you got to even come up the rough side of the mountain. But if you trust me, if you trust me, if you walk with me, I'll make everything all right. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus. I want Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, I want Jesus to walk with me every step of the way. Jesus, if you take one step, he'll take two. I go every step of the way. It might be down in the valley or on the mountaintop, but Lord, I'm going to trust you. One songwriter picked it up and said, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy. In Jesus, but to trust and obey. Do you trust him enough to walk with him? He's a mighty good God, I tell you. Trust him. Keep your hands wrapped up, tied up, tangled up, everything up in his hand. Because he's a mighty good God. Mm-hmm. Lord have mercy. I'm done. I'm done. But I'm going to hold on to see what the end going to be.
journey.
I want Jesus.
Walk with me.
Walk with me.
Walk with me, Lord.
Walk
with me.
Mm-hmm.
Walk with me, Lord.
Yeah.
Walk with me,
Lord. While I'm on this
period.
Y'all know what I want to do. I want Jesus. Oh, yeah.
Walk with me.
How about hold my hand?
Hold
my hand, Lord.
Lord, you got to lead the way.
Hold my hand.
Lord, yeah. I want Jesus.
To hold.
To hold my hand.
You want him to walk with you? To walk with me. Come on, walk with me.
Walk with me.
Mm-hmm. Walk with me, Lord.
Be my